This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360. They can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the tense. Starring the tense. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb.
The podcast starts.
You better wear a helmet now.
All right, welcome back to another episode of The Podcast. I'm the host of this here podcast, the Ted Smith. Greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Up in the top square, coming to us live from Aus. Now, he's not here. He's in the desert. He does go by the name of Cobb. But to the square next to me, beaming in from Palm Springs, Matt, Cobb, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Ted. It's great to see you, man.
Yeah, it's becoming a regular thing. Just old Matt Ted doing a podcast.
Yeah, man. I mean, love Cobb. Always stoked to see that guy. And I'm sure he's having a great time on the playa right now. So, yeah. Send those good vibes to hyperspace, and he might just pick them up out there.
Yeah, and we have another friend of ours who... is generally in charge. Not in charge. He's just a very in charge kind of person, military, security, and he's with them. And like when I saw the boys off yesterday morning, I said, hey, somebody keep an eye on him this time.
He's the wild card, dude.
Right? He's always like, Matt's been camping with him. He's got his all his S together. It's like, oh, yeah. Like he's going to be thrown off. I mean, the weather won't throw him off, but I'm like, that's a different scene down there at Burning Man.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think he's got to be most likely to thrive, you know, because it's going to be so different for him. But yeah, I think I'm excited to hear his trip report for sure.
Trip report. I like that. He seems like the kind of guy that would file like a nice trip report, too.
Yeah.
Also, Matt, if I'm not wrong, it was last year. Did you celebrate? Was there any scam or scram parties this August?
Scam
or scram? Scurvy Awareness Month.
Oh, that's right, dude. We didn't. We really slacked on our new. We had 1 month. We had 11 months to prepare for 1 month.
Scurvy came up on the men's
room. I mean, it really is a scam from the South. Like,
it came up on the men's room today, and it took everything in me to be like, oh, only 2 days left in Scurvy Awareness Month.
Dude, I totally forgot about that. That's so funny. I mean, so much of it was predicated on this year's meltdown, which isn't happening. So, you know, we were going to be out handing out oranges, collecting email addresses for the newsletter. Like, yeah, we had a real big scam plan for August, and just kind of fell apart.
So I'm sure you saw that Bob Barker passed away last weekend.
Yeah, at 99.
I know, so close without going perfect. Over.
Perfect.
So I didn't know this. We were talking about him on the men's room. He was born in Darrington.
Really?
Yeah, and I guess when he moved away when he was like six or something.
Okay. But,
you know, Miles and Thrill were like, Ted, you ever been to Darrington? I was like, well, of course. They were like, we don't know where Darrington is. I was like, ah, man, you just go up I-5, make a right up in Arlington, and then take a nice little country road. That'll take you out to Darrington. And they're like, of course you know where it is. And I was like, well, I went there every summer for how many, from 2011 to whenever. And I was like, yeah, the meltdown was always out there at the Whitehorse Amphitheater.
Damn, dude, we were partying in Bob Barker's hometown that whole time without even knowing it.
You know what the weird thing is? I always turn left at the amphitheater. I don't know that I've actually been into Darrington. Right? Like I left once to go to that gas station and get like ice, but I'm like,
but that weird gas station, like, yeah, that gas station's outside of town, right? The one that we drive by on the way in.
Yeah, I was just like, I don't know. Like, I know Darrington, but I don't know that I've actually stepped foot in the town.
Damn. I feel like one point I was going somewhere further east and I drove through the town, but I didn't stop in it. But I can't even remember what that was. Maybe it was a hike or something. But I was like, I didn't even know they had a town over here. Like, I thought Darrington was just kind of those fields in that gas station. They are a town.
Yeah, they got a town and everything.
Oh man.
I know. Yeah, but as soon as they brought it up, like, you don't know where Darrington is? Like, come on, man. Everybody knows where Darrington is.
At least where the amphitheater is. I don't know anything about that town, but I know where the music park and the river are.
Well, it's so funny too. Like, when I first started going to Meltdown, like, that was the only time I would ever get off in Arlington. But now, you know, like, our friends live up there and you get off on the same exit, and I'm up there so often, like, I don't know. Used to seem more magical. Now it's just like a place I go to.
It's going to see the homies, going the other way off the freeway.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. So last week we were off because I had a week off and I was in Montana.
Yes. Very excited to hear about it.
Well, let's start with, right, so it's a week ago Friday. I get off work. My buddy picks me up, and we're going to drive out to Spokane and kind of cut the trip in, like, two parts, right? So we stop in Ellensburg, and I bought a koozie. I got to find it, but we found this, like, it's funny. We found, like, this block with two bars. So I go into the first bar, and it's, like, it's fine. Just like Who Let the Dogs Out is playing, but it's popping in there, right? Like, it's busy. And like, my buddy, he's driving, so he goes to the bathroom and then he comes out. And while I'm standing there, the woman sitting at the bar in front of me, because there's not many seats, we'd been in there for 5 minutes. She's sitting there, and I see the bartender finally ask her, like, I'll be right with you. So my buddy comes out of the bathroom and I go, hey, man, do you want to walk a couple doors down and check out that other bar and just see if it's a little less crowded or whatever? And he's like, there's a table in the back. We're fine. And I look at him and go, let me rephrase this. Will you go down two doors and see if that bar is less crowded? So, I mean, it's not even 30 seconds. And he just walks back in and, like, waves me over, like, let's go down there. And, like, as we walk in, one of the bartenders, the dude's opening the door, and he goes, see, this is the buddy I was telling you about. And I go, what happened? He goes, I walked over. I guess I don't know if the bartender was smoking a cig or whatever. And he, like, opened the door And Sean just like looked in and then was like, yep, this is us. And just came back and like hollered at me.
This is our home like, for now.
Yeah, it was like a country bar. Like they legit had on like a local rodeo on the Cowboy Channel. So you know me, I'm like, oh. I get a lot of sports. So I asked the guy, I go, hey man, like, how do you get the Cowboy Channel? And he goes, I don't know, dude. I've just worked here for years and it's always on. I was like, all right. It had like a little back area. Like, honestly, it was really fun. I got to remember the name of it. But that's like, so we would have stayed there, but it's like, we got to keep driving. So like, he had a beer. I probably had like three. Then it's like, let's keep cruising. So now we're driving out 90 and we stop at a rest area and you can smell the smoke. And I'm like, ooh, like this is crazy. And then, I-90 was shut down. Like, what? I've never seen that. Yeah, the fire was so big. It was like on the highway. So we had to go down through like Cheney and then come back up to Spokane. But it was pretty spooky. I think they had just closed it down and we were like the lead car. And then, or like, we were like the third car. And then people started making lefts and it was like, should we make a left here? And I was like, I think we just go straight till we see another cop. They'll tell us where to go.
Oh
yeah, I mean it was a bad fire.
Dude. So then,
yeah. Also, the 7-Eleven in the main part of Spokane, when you drive into town, do not go to that. Like it, there were zombies. It was unbelievable. I was like even I was a little like, ooh,
really?
Yeah, dude. Like when we pulled in there, honestly, I took my watch off and I was like, I'm just going to put this in my backpack before I walk in here.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah. So, right. We just spent the night in Spokane, like got some food or whatever. So the next day, Matt, I'm driving. All right.
Ooh, all right.
Number one, we get over to Idaho. We got to stop at a Cabela's because my buddy doesn't know how to swim. I said, well, you're getting in that lake. So let's get you a PFD. You know, get you going. Number one thing, apparently I don't go to Cabela's enough in Idaho. There's just people selling puppies on the side of the road as you drive in.
What?
Yes. Puppies. Like there was like seven of them. Seven puppies? Different people selling litters of puppies.
What? Seven different puppy stands?
Right. And then it was like puppy row.
Because you said seven, I thought you meant like one person selling one litter of puppies, seven total puppies, seven different places,
seven different like cars. And like, they have out chairs, like they're set up for like the whole day. Like we got to move these puppies,
dude. Wow.
So we go to Cabela's and then get the PFDs or whatever. Then the fun part of the adventure starts. Like, I don't know if you've ever driven over. Have you driven through Idaho, like that part of it?
Ooh, twice, but I was on my way to and from a lockdown facility, so I wasn't paying a lot of attention.
It is. The speed limit's like 75.
Yeah.
The roads are always under construction. So the speed limit's still like 65, right? But I don't drive that often. You're going up and down these giant mountains, and it's just like traffic buzzing by. Yeah. Like at one point, I'm like, hey, dude, you got to talk. Keep talking. I'm trying to get through this drive. So then, right, we get into Montana and we stopped at a place that has 50,000 silver dollars. Anybody what? That's driven on 90? Yeah, 50,000 silver dollars. But silver dollars aren't worth a dollar. They're worth like right now, I think like 82 bucks or something.
Oh.
So there's hundreds of thousands like of dollars. But I mean, they have now, I think they're up to 87,000 silver dollars, and they're like in these wooden giant like plaques, and they're in the bar and they're like hung up.
What?
So it's like a crazy gift shop and everything, and I'm like, there's like this giant bar in there and I'm with all the silver dollars, like we got to go in there. I was like, you can be me this time. I'll have a beer, you can have like a bunch of them. And then if anybody knows Montana, we cruise down and then we make a left at St. Regis, right? And like, same thing. That gas station's unreal. There's like a trout museum in the back. Also, they're claiming to have the greatest milkshake in the world.
Whoa, bold claim.
It's a Huckleberry milkshake. It was pretty damn good.
Okay.
But same thing. We get through St. Regis and it's like extreme fire danger. Like, do not stop. So we're cruising through. You'll appreciate this. I'm a slow driver, but one lane highway. My buddy's already kind of boozed up now. He's like, you got to down this car. I'm like, all right, I'm taking down a bogey. And he's like, explain to me how to overtake a car. I'm like, all right. So we overtake it. The adrenaline's pumping. Now I'm back in my lane and I'm like, I'm going 110. He's like, well, you slow down now. Right? Like, you've done it. So we like, it was just wild.
Wow.
Like, I just, right. And like, when we finally got to town, we stopped somewhere to like get some food. And I was like, dude, that was wild. And he was like, what, were you that nervous? I was like, I've just never driven through this part of the country. And like, going up and down those mountains, like, you're hauling ass, dude.
Yeah.
I know. And the town we stay in, Polson, is so small. We go into like this bar. It's Saturday night. It's like 6:45, 7. And at first I'm kind of like, man, this bartender's taking a while. And then I realized, like, I asked her and I'm like, are you the only one working? She's like, yeah, I just picked up a shift like this weekend. Like, it's not my normal job. And I'm like, that's how small the town is. I'm like, dude, it's 7 o'clock on a Saturday. Like, you got to have at least somebody in the kitchen. She's like, no, I do everything. I serve the drinks. I wash the dishes and I cook the food.
What?
Yeah.
Dude. It's just a different life out there. That's wild.
It's unreal. So, right. So then the next day, we just kind of hung out on the lake. The lake was much shallower than the year before. So I walked out there to the edge of the dock. You know me, I always like jumping, and everybody's like, you gonna dive in? I'm like, I wouldn't dive in, but I'm like, I can jump in. It'll be all right. You know, you can kind of jump in and your feet will just kind of naturally. Yeah. Right. So like, I mean, your butt was going to touch the bottom, but I was like, ah, it's good. But you know me, I mean, you've seen me in water. Like, I love it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then Sunday, cooked a big dinner, running the grill, just doing man stuff, you know, swimming, grilling. By the way, you got to go back to Montana as an adult.
That's what I keep thinking. Yeah, I hold no animosity towards the state. You know, it actually seems like a pretty dope place. So, yeah, sign me up. So this water, how deep was the water that you were jumping into?
It was still probably 8 feet.
Oh, okay.
Right. You know what I mean? It was just, it's so clear. You can see the bottom.
Yeah. And how high was the dock that you were jumping off of to the surface of the water?
Probably like another 2 feet.
Okay. Yeah. That's not too bad.
Yeah. That's why I was like, I'm comfortable doing it. So once I did it, everybody's like, I was like, yeah, like, you can jump it. Like, trust me. I was like, I didn't hit bottom every time. It's not like, okay. So I was like, if you just do it correctly, you should be like, I wouldn't jump in straight up and down. I certainly wouldn't dive.
Right.
But I was like, dude, you could jump in and be okay.
Yeah.
I also always forget that I'm not the best with explaining water stuff. It's like, one of the girls on our trip, she was like, so just go. I was like, yeah, just kind of land on your butt. But she jumped in just like butt first. She was like, my butt's killing me. It's so red. I'm like, yeah, yeah. You got to let your legs go in and then kind of swoop under.
Not only butt, just... God, yeah, that's so good. just tuck your knees once you hit the water. Wait till you feel the water on your feet and then tuck.
So then, right, the next day, we always go into Kalispell, go to Moose's. Moose's, I mean, look, even if you don't drink, it's just a great old school bar that's famous for pizza, these frozen, like, goblets that you drink your beer out of, and then you could throw peanut shells on the floor.
Love it.
So I had called them, and I thought the Arsenal match on Monday was on USA Network. So the dude puts it on. I'm in my goddamn Arsenal jersey. It's not on USA Network. At halftime, Jesse's like, hey, I know a sports bar around here. We go there, it's closed. So we end up at this bar called the Ritz in Kalispell. Okay. It's an old school looking, like, cowboy bar, but super nice, right? Like, granite counter, like, giant bar. There's like a little casino, this big bar area, and then a salon. So it's like dumping rain. We don't know what to do. So we got pedicures.
You mean, I was like, Ted knows that that's not a saloon. Like, right. Actual salon. Damn, dude. I like that you went to Montana for a pedicure.
Right. I've never gotten a pedicure. I'm not a big foot guy. And it was, and I was like, him and Hall, I'm like, I don't know. I just hang out here in the bar. And they're like, what's wrong? I'm like, it's just a little odd for me. And they're like, oh, the guy barking at us just to jump in the water and stop being pussies. I was like, yeah. And they're like, you better get this pedicure. I'm like, oh, all right.
God damn, dude. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I don't want to step on the rest of the trip, but ballpark, over under, like, let's set it at 21, the amount of times you reference that pedicure for the duration of the trip.
I'd say under.
Okay.
Because I was one of the only males to get a clear coat. Everybody else got their toenails painted, which was a hot topic of discussion the next day with his parents and his uncle and the locals we were playing cornhole with.
You don't. I've had two. You don't need any polish. You don't even need clear coat. They'll just do the rest of it.
Oh, I just, well, first, so there's like these three like women on the other side in their chairs. And at first I was like, I don't know, can I get like a French manicure? And they're standing there and they're like, no.
Back to your big city, dude.
Right.
Who do you think you are?
I just think they look hot on women. So I was like, maybe it'll look hot on me.
French manicure.
I know, dude. But I mean, you know me, like I'm usually pretty cool, but I'm slightly panicked at this point because I'm just like this lady's just going to work on my feet and I just sit here. And I had a free glass of Prosecco.
Wow. Dude, they do salons better than most places, it sounds like.
It, dude, and it's still Kalispell. So the dude running the place is like in a jacket with like a button up like shirt, like white shirt, like tan, almost like, I don't know how to describe it. He just looked like a cowboy, bolero tie, kind of undone, like flow going. And he's all over it. He's bartending. He's running drinks over. So like when we were done, I go over to slug down a beer and I go, hey, man, I got to tell you, I like the cut of your jib. And then the guy next to me is like, oh, he's like, we start BSing. He's like, I'll buy you a beer. He's like, they don't, you know, they're still making Bud Light jokes in Montana. He's like, they don't have any light beer, so I'm drinking this Canadian beer. Is that all right with you? Like, you know, I'm wearing an English soccer jersey. Like, I don't care. Right? I was like, yeah, sure. Buy me a kokanee. Whatever. I mean, that was also the only good shot I had all weekend of talking to some girls, because then they're like, oh, you're the French manicure guy. And I'm like, yes, that is me. But like at this point, like everybody's leaving, so I only got to talk to them for like half a beer. But there was just like three women. I would say, right, if I'm early 40s, they were probably like early 30s, but like they're on a trip together in Kalispell. I was like, when we were leaving, somebody's like, should we have left you in there? I was like, you should have left me and Sean in there. I'm like, yeah, Sean and I could have done some work, I think.
It's only a dream scenario for us.
Right. Let's say. Yeah, and then the next day is my favorite day. You just sit, his parents live on a different side of the lake, playing cornhole. There's always a giant tournament where you get paired up with different people. I lost in the first round. And just, you know. Well, all right. So here's the other thing. Our buddy, his uncle, is a massive, aggressive, like, talker.
Okay.
Right. That's just, you know, we know, right? I grew up with it, you know, this and that. And I was like, look, like, it's not for everybody, but it's like, I get it. It's how he communicates. Like, he's not really being mean, and like, just flip it back to him. So like, we get along, but I was just pumped because after the tournament and we ate dinner, like last year, I didn't have a great showing. Not going to lie. The neighbor Roger was giving me a bunch of crap. Well, this year, like, I threw some bags and then I was like, Roger, you want to play a game? And he's like, all right, Ted, I'll play with you. We win the first game. And then it's like, all right, we win the second game. Right. And like, people take cornhole seriously in Montana. So then it's like, why don't you guys put $20 on it? I'm like, Roger, I'm in if you're in. He's like, I'm in. I walked out of that cornhole game like up $45.
No. Way, dude.
Yeah, right. the greatest compliment I've heard in a long time. I go, Roger, what do you think? A little more improvement, huh? And he goes, honestly, I'd play with you in a real tournament.
Whoa.
Nice.
Damn. That's a good compliment.
It is, right? See, but that's the other thing too. Like, I love coaching, but also you gotta be coachable. And like, he kept telling me stuff, and I was like, all right. And he's like, yeah, most people don't listen when they're drinking beers and playing cornhole. I was like, oh, I'm here to win.
Yeah, that's been my thing golfing with guys that are better than me down here. It's like, you know, I'm not going to slow it down. I play fast, even if I suck. And yeah, listen to what they have to say. But it's an interesting thing, because they're like, do you mind if I tell you? I'm like, yes, please. I'm not under the illusion that I'm good here. Like, I'll take anything you got to say. So like, I'm enthusiastically coachable, but it's like, that really, you know, especially in a game like cornhole, you know, where, yeah, especially in a place like Montana, where it's like, dude, this guy plays a lot. He probably does know some things that you don't know, and it's worth listening to. And then, yeah, sounds like it worked out well.
They have professional boards. Like, Roger shows up with his own bags.
What?
Like, they, you know, oh, Matt, they are not fucking around, dude. I mean, it's like the highlight of their week is like this tournament and then the cash games afterwards.
Dude. Cash games afterwards?
Right.
I'll make it back at the cash games afterwards. Don't worry.
Right. Well, some people in the group, like, they're like, yeah, it's fun, whatever. But like, you know, they're just not big sports people, and certainly aren't sure what to do with all the shit talking. But like, oh, I was thriving. I'm like, this is great.
Yeah. Yeah. You just got to be able to dish it a little bit, take it. And yeah, I mean, it makes games like that more fun to just have that trash talk going. As long as, I mean, it can get out of hand sometimes, but most of the time it like enhances it.
Yeah. And like, you know, you get caught up, right? Like, sure, people have heard me say this before, but I can be a shy, like, I'm a shy peer. Like, I'll pee in a stall all day long. Oh, cornhole Montana, Ted. My buddy was like, man, where's the bathroom? And I'm like, we're outside, man. This is all our bathroom. He's like, are you serious? I'm like, I haven't pissed inside in 2 days. He's like, you're peeing right there? I was like, yeah, man. He's like, thought you were a shy peer. I'm like, not anymore. Not in Montana.
Not out here. That's Washington, that Ted, bruh.
Real quick, talking about advice. How do you feel about unsolicited gym guy advice?
Whew.
Well, see, I feel like that's one place, unless you're doing something really that you're going to hurt yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, the, you know, and even then, like, I've told people, like, dude, that's sketch. When I was a trainer, when I had the logo and the thing on, like, hey, man, I just wanted to, you know, see if you would be interested in hearing about any other options to maybe get a similar effect without the risk that you're presenting here. And they're just like, get out of here. I mean, personally, I always thought it was fun to talk to the other meatheads and see what they're doing. And you know, it's fun. They'll give it to you unsolicited, but if you take it in stride, like, it's kind of fun. It's somewhat helpful. Generally, you know, it comes from guys that are bigger than me, you know? And so yeah, there's the, like, it's almost like there's this implied thing of like, dude, like, I'm fine with my frame. Like, I kind of like my cut, you know? I don't need to be a big, bulky, strong dude. And but bigger guys love throwing that unsolicited advice at you. And it's now I know, like, dude, you're talking about like the absolute like 1%, 2% margins of improvement. It's so much of it is just consistency. Those are the guys that are in there 6 days a week. And it's like, I don't know if your techniques are that special or if you just dedicate three times the amount of time to this than I do. Like, that's the thing with me. Is like, if you're in there 6 days a week and you're talking to someone who's just starting out, it's not gonna land. I think it's a fun way to meet people, and most of them are entertaining. And yeah, there's I had a lot of that back in my day, and I was like, this guy's my friend. And then it's like, I think he just likes talking about himself and his workout routine between sets.
Do you know, do you follow that woman on Instagram that runs the Mini Beast?
Oh, I don't know. Brand. I don't think so.
So she is like, she's super hot, but like, it's funny. You're talking about cutting and bulking, and mm-hmm. she'll show pictures from like back in the day. She's like, I stopped doing cardio. Like, and then she's like, basically, then I bulk and then I, you know, cut and the going back and forth. And she just shows all the different like versions. And she's like, I finally found like a middle zone I like, but I'm just like, oh my God. Like when you see her body, you understand it's like, yeah. Like that takes years of, you know, bulking, cutting, cycling, like deciding what body you want and
yeah.
what you're going to work on. And like, but I like that she very much, like she's always putting in meal prep and explaining stuff very simple. Like this, you know, like if you want this, do this.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, man, it's really just like, how hard do you want to go with it? Like anything's possible in that realm. But you know, I like that she's honestly revealing the process, because sometimes there's like a super jacked trainer that's like, take my 6-week program and you'll know everything you need to know. And it's like, yeah, but they're still 6 years away from looking like you, of doing that every single week for 6 years, you know?
Yeah.
And people just assume that, well, I'm going to look like that when I'm done. And it's just a long process that, you know, luckily I think it's enjoyable. You know, that's find stuff you like, because you're in it for the long haul, whether you like it or not. As long as you got a body, dude, like training it should probably be enjoyable, because there's always going to be reasons to train. It just changes throughout the years. Like I just used to just want to get laid, you know, and now I'm like, I just want to play golf and not run into all this low back pain that most people experience. Whoa. Okay.
Yeah. You could see the size like difference.
Legs. Yeah.
Yeah. Miss Carrie June, right? She runs a massive brand called Miss Mini
Carrie
Beast.
June. Okay.
All right. One last thing from Montana. Very proud of this. This Christmas, a good friend of mine gave me an ugly stick, a new fishing pole. The last day we were there, in between swimming, Sean broke out the fishing poles, went down there, caught a fish. Probably the easiest fishing I've ever seen in my life in Montana.
No kidding.
It was unbelievable. Frances caught a fish.
No.
Yeah. She didn't even know what she was doing. Frank is what, 4? She just started reeling really fast and it just snagged a perch like on the side of his body. My one buddy, I look over, I go, who didn't know how to cast when I showed him. And then I see him pull out like 3 in a row. And I'm like, oh, you got this down. And he goes, I'm not even using bait. So I mean, we must have just been on like this school of perch, like by our dock.
Not even using bait.
Right. I know. Like, and he was so just being good. Honest, but it was such a funny line. You know, it's like, I'm not even using bait. I was like, no. Shit. I was like, you just pulled out like 3 in a row.
That's so awesome.
I know, that's what I've been telling everybody. They're like, what'd you do in Montana? I was like, wow, you take out hunting. It was basically a country song. Swam in a lake, fished in a lake, played cornhole. I mean, we leave out the pedicure, but you know, it's country song.
I was gonna say, ask for a French manicure, got a clear coat on my pedicure instead, but you know, aside from that, it's basically Luke Bryan over here.
It's funny when you're like, dude, you can just get nothing. Like, I didn't even know that was an option. I'm just like, after they were like, no, you can't get a French manicure. I'm like, all right, clear coat. But I will say, if you've ever, I was talking to Thrill the other day. He's like, yeah, my wife keeps telling me to get one, this and that. I'm like, look, I'm not going to lie. Your feet are going to feel much better. Like, it just, I was like, I probably will start getting them every couple months.
It's a good thing, and like most of the dudes I know that get pedicures, I look up to, whether I like it or not. Like, yeah, it's not like I look up to them because they get pedicures, but like the type of dude that gets a pedicure and understands what it's about and is confident enough to, you know, set aside societal judgments or whatever, tends to be people that I'm like, oh dang, I already looked up to you. I didn't know you got pedicures too. And so yeah, I've always gone with a girl, and then I have to sit there and wait for like 15 minutes while they paint their nails at the end. Like the nail painting adds a lot of time to the pedicure. And so
it does.
Like, yeah, and then they're like, I'm like, no, I don't need any paint on my nails. And then they're like, well, go wait over there because your girlfriend does. And yeah, it's like, it's just a whole other ordeal.
Well, there's like five levels. We got the number three. Like that hot wax was hot. That kind of caught me off guard a little bit too. I was like, she's like, just put your foot in here. I'm like, okay. I was like, ooh, that is warm. All right, let's take a break here and then we'll come back. We'll have a special guest. You've heard us read his emails and we're going to talk college football.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org/advisors.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, welcome back, everybody. As always, thank you to our sponsors. Not sure who they were tonight, but I'm sure they love us. All right, so for years, you've listened to the podcast. You've heard an emailer email in as Carson the Lawyer. Carson, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Ted. It is an honor to be here on the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
All the land. So Matt, right, Matt texts me, was it yesterday? He's like, hey, man, do you mind if Carson comes on since Cobb's not there and talks about college football? I was like, yeah, yes. Couldn't say yes quick enough. Now, before we get into your team, I want to say as a college football fan, so this weekend, last weekend, there was Navy Notre Dame in Dublin, Ireland. I am not a Notre Dame fan. Credit to their fan base, though. Big brand. There was like 35, 40,000 of them that went over there.
Whoa.
But for the record, I was also going to go to that game for my 40th birthday, but COVID. Oh. But one thing, I kept checking Twitter and there was this Irish guy at the game. I have no idea who he is. Shout out to my buddy Ron that lives up in Northern Ireland. He was at the game. But this Irish guy is just like tweeting out stuff. And I forget that if you're not American and if you're not into college football, like, the cheerleaders and the marching band are a real thing. And he just keeps filming it. And he's like, it's like a movie. like, I forget. It's insanity, right? You got the Notre Dame leprechaun leading it. You got this massive marching band. You got all the cheerleaders. You got the flag girls. Like, it's a whole thing. And that's, Carson, I'm sure you'll agree, as college football, that's one thing I love the most, is just the pomp and circumstance.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. And credit where credit is due, Notre Dame in particular, I have said their fans are some of the best I've ever seen. I was actually in the marching band at USC my first 2 years, so I got to go to a game in South Bend, and their fans were on another level. Everyone, all the students wearing the same T-shirt. Nobody leaves the stadium early. They're all doing push-ups in the air every time they score. Like, that's the fans that you want. So it does not surprise me at all to hear that they traveled to Dublin, of all places, extra hard.
So I know you're an SC fan. I didn't realize you were in the marching band at SC.
Yeah, I was in it for the first 2 years there, and then it was going to wind up being a lot more time commitment the last 2 years just to how the leadership positions work. So I figured, I'm not willing to have a part-time job for it. So then I wound up being a fan in the stands for the last 2 years, which was a great kind of both worlds for it, because I got so lucky. I was there during the heyday of the Pete Carroll years. So I was in the marching band at that Orange Bowl against Oklahoma, or against the Sooners, where we just crushed them to win the undisputed national title. And yeah, there's, like you said, the pomp and circumstance of college football. There's nothing like it.
So I have good and bad takes on SC.
As does everyone.
Number one, when you're in the band, do you get as tired of playing that fucking song as I do of hearing it?
No, for us, it's like breathing.
Matt, have you ever seen SC play in person?
No. When I was a kid, I went to some of the games when I was in LA. But yeah, I don't remember any of it.
You'll understand what I'm talking about. They play that same song over and over, and they're all throwing up their twos.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The twos.
Oh, yeah.
No, go ahead.
I would say the band camp that you start with the beginning of each season, like a week or two of intense practice, get all the new people up to shape. Oh, they'd always is just, all right, if we haven't called a certain song to play, just assume you're playing Tribute to Troy, that song. So just like, unless we're telling you to do something otherwise, that's what you're supposed to be doing all the time. Just play that song.
Right. So, right. As an East Coaster, right? Like, I had never seen SC in person. So one of the first few years I'm out here, they're playing Washington. This one, Washington was bad. So I go to the game, and like, it's not super packed that day. So me and my buddy, I'm like, I've never seen SC. I'm like, let's go sit over in their student section. Number one, so we get a closer look at the song girls. And then right. But as we're sitting there, I'm like, Jesus, they play this song a lot. And like, I sent a picture to like my uncle, and he just goes, are you sick of the song yet? I was like, how'd you know? He's like, I've seen an SC game.
Yeah, that sounds about par for the course. My mom has compared it to a cult, and she's not entirely wrong.
Well, you're not Texas A&M. I'm pretty sure Texas A&M is a cult. We'll put a pin in that. That's very minutia in deep college football, but like, could be. Now, the good on SC, I will say, those like Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart years, unreal. Like the Bush push, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You're with me as an SC fan. I'm sure you're not an Notre Dame fan, but like that was unbelievable. One of the greatest games I've ever seen. Now back to the bad for SC. Probably the greatest game I've ever seen is the 07 championship when Texas beats them.
Yeah, but that one, at least the Bush push, made it a good balance. Because let's be honest, if I'm going to take off my crazy fan hat, he shouldn't have scored on that play. That wasn't allowed. And the only reason we were contending for the national title was because of that. So, okay, losing it on a bad call of Vince Young knees hitting the ground, we can't really claim that we would have been there if all the calls had been right. So let's just have two incredible games to watch and marvel. I mean, I've always said when it comes to sports, if the only thing you can complain about at the end of the game is the final score, you can't really complain. And both of those games were just incredible to watch.
Awesome. And it's funny now is when you look at the Eagles last year and it's like, look how great their QB sneak is. It's like they're just doing the Bush push because it's legal now.
Mm-hmm. Pete Carroll knew what he was doing, man.
Yeah. And at the time, like, honestly, I remember watching it and they were like, we're not sure if it's legal. That just seemed like a heads up football play.
Yeah, I mean, he really knew his stuff, man. That's why I think, and maybe this is some sour grapes here, but I don't think he got enough credit even for the pick off in the Super Bowl. Like, how often are you going to get an inside slant route picked off? Everyone's going to expect you to go with your big receiver, or excuse me, your big rushing back. So, like, yeah, I mean, the strategy and the thinking outside the box, sometimes it doesn't pay off, sometimes it does. I love Pete Carroll as a coach, man. I'm a huge fan of his for as long as he's coaching anywhere.
Yeah, and Pete Carroll, look, I've been wrong about him twice. I remember when the Seahawks hired him, I was like, he's not an NFL coach. I was dead wrong. And then a year ago when it was like, do we get rid of Russ or get rid of Pete? I was team get rid of Pete. I was happy to be wrong again. So, like, trust me. And his name is blanking right now, but he was a tight end for the Seahawks. Luke Wilson.
Yeah.
So Luke, we used to have him on the Megacast, me and Migs, and they were going to play, I think it was Green Bay on like a Monday night. So he was like, hey, our walkthrough's on Sunday. Like, come over to the VMAC, I'll get you passes, and you can go watch the walkthrough. And, like, seeing Pete Carroll in person is unbelievable, just on the practice field. Matt, I'm telling you, like me and Migs and my buddy Baird are standing there, and I'm like, is anybody else getting fired up and, like, ready to go hit, like, go do something on that field? And it's like, yeah. Like, his energy is just unmatched.
Oh, yeah. Every time you saw him on campus and you gave him a fight on coach, he would stop and turn around and give you one back. He's the kind of guy that people want to play for.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so cool.
All right. So tell me, Matt says, do you tailgate every SC game?
Not every game. We do at least a few each year. We used to do most of them. It's me and my actually little brother from the fraternity. He was also in the band at SC. And so we've done most of them. I used to have to get there real early, but now they do a permit system, which is nice. Makes it a little bit easier. Although now this year, you have to have permits, which is a change. So it's a little bit less hectic than it used to be. But at SC, you get a chance to tailgate. It's not just in the parking lot outside the stadium or even in the parking lots on campus. You get to tailgate on campus, like all the quads, all the streets. Our spot is in a grassy island in the middle of the main thoroughfare that goes right through the middle of campus. So it's That's a really awesome. Cool experience. Yeah, it's so much. I mean, the building where I had a third of my classes is right there. We use the same bathrooms. And because you're on campus, you get nice actual bathrooms. SC brings in good, like, little air-conditioned porta-potty banks and stuff, too. They really know what they're doing because it's a small campus, so it gets pretty busy. But then the band kind of comes through at the end. You can hear the band play and then follow the band over to the stadium. You got to break down at kickoff, which is the only drawback, but it's super fun. My whole family's coming out for the UW tailgate this year.
Oh, nice. That's the game of the year in the conference.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Until we
play Utah and lose again.
Well, also, I remember, like, the first time I went to Burning Man, like, a lot of people down there, you know, they call it sports ball. They're not really into it. But, like, you know, you get to, like, Wednesday or Thursday, like, I can't help it. I'm going to start talking sports. And, like, people are like, what do you like so much about college? And I was explaining the tailgating, and I said, look, it's basically a mini festival. Like, everybody sets up their stuff. Right. You bring your own food and drink and stuff, and then you meet your neighbors. Maybe you're trading food. Like, man, I can't tell you how many times we've traded, like, beers for a shot of whiskey, or sometimes people just give you stuff.
Yeah, we had some people show up at our last one, like some 60-something-year-old dudes with just handles to make these incredible cinnamon toast crunch shots. And it literally just tastes like actual Cinnamon Toast Crunch. It was unbelievable. And you're just walking through, I got a picture on my wall of a couple of guys in Michigan gear playing beer pong because they just stopped by our tailgate and we were chirping with them and they got in on a game. I mean, it's like you said, it's the essence of festivals, but it's just one day. It's convenient. You don't have to sleep in a tent. You know, it's so much fun. And it's the balance between, it's somehow both a well-oiled machine and absolute chaos. And that's what makes it so much fun.
Yeah, and I mean, look, I've been to three of the five biggest stadiums, and, like, right, they, like the tailgate culture is just unreal. Like you go to LSU, like there's plenty of people that show up to tailgate. They have no plans on going into that game.
Oh yeah, I haven't gone to a game in years. The Husky game this year will be the first one I've gone to in ages. Yeah, that way we break down and then you go watch it in a sports bar.
Yeah, I mean, look, right? Like we used to go to Maryland stuff, me and my buddy Bernie, we get, because Maryland was never that good, so we always had to play at noon. But like we would, his brother was a fireman. We'd be at the firehouse at freaking 5:30, 6 a.m., filling up the giant cooler with ice. We'd wait until they open the gate for every hours before game. Right. You get your spot, you start setting up stuff and everything. And it's like, I also tell people, like, for people like me, like for the Smiths, it's like a little family reunion. You get like four or five extra ones a year because that's everybody goes to the tailgate.
Oh, yeah. And actually, tailgating is the reason that I moved back to Southern California after moving to Colorado for law school, because I came back at least once each year for homecoming. I'd done a year in between undergrad and law school where we did a bunch of them. And you just realize it's makes it so much easier to stay in contact with folks, especially as someone who moved out of state. Just everyone comes to tailgates, like all multiple different friend groups that I have. There's fraternity folks, there's freshman year dorm folks, and it's an awesome crowd. You get everyone coming in, and it's such a central hub of the social network, for me at least. And I mean, yeah, it's I look forward to it so much. They're exhausting, they're long days because it's a 2.5 hour drive out from the desert, but man, it's so worth it. I just did a little nomad one this last weekend, and it was an absolute blast. It always is.
Right. Mom, I'm very happy that my nephew, he's now a freshman at Ole Miss and he's joining a fraternity. So I'm like, hey, make sure you stay in school this year, get in that fraternity. So next year I'm coming down. Like I want a setup. Matt, the Grove at Ole Miss is supposedly the holy grail of tailgating.
Really?
Yeah, but you got it. Like, people get there the night before and stuff, but since he's in a fraternity, like, the fraternities all have their own little tailgate, so it's like, I was talking to my brother, he's like, oh, yeah, like, he'll have to go and set up early, but he's like, we can just roll in and hang out at their tailgate.
Yeah. Yeah, fraternities are like boats. It's way better to have a friend with one than to have to deal with one yourself.
I mean, you're not wrong, but yeah, given the, like, I've never think about getting a boat except when it's summertime and like every attractive woman I know that's single, I'm like, what are you doing this weekend? Oh, I'm going on a boat. Who's the guy? I don't know. Some like 56 year old dude. I'm just like, God damn it. Boats are, they work so well.
Like just rent one, like in December, go find somebody who's looking to rent one for the summer, get in there early, get a good deal, and then or get like a timeshare on it, get 1 month or something like that, where you've got the boat locked down for peak Seattle summer, and you can be boat Ted.
Talk to our buddy Carson, the lawyer, big SC fan, goes to the tailgates. All right, I got to ask you, so SC's ranked, what do you guys, sixth in the nation? Top 10.
Yeah, sounds right.
That was, I mean, that first half was a little shaky against San Jose State Saturday night in week zero.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, SDSU, just like San Jose and San Diego State, they both deserve a little more credit than they usually get. But we should not have let them score 28 points. And our offense was real slow on the first half. Yeah, I mean, I was not particularly concerned about the offense. We got enough talent, especially Caleb Williams and some of the newer guys. The defense is the real question, because USC has always just been pathologically addicted to not wrapping up when they tackle. That always is going to make it worse. And then Grinch has just, we could not make a stop to save our life last season. The fact that we led in turnovers, but couldn't make it, but we were like almost bottom for yards per play. Like we looked great on SportsCenter, but SportsCenter doesn't win you championships. And that's why Utah deserved to win both of those times. And Tulane too, frankly, it was the inability of us to make a stop when it counted. And I haven't seen enough of a change to give me much more hope this year. I kind of said 28 points was the dividing line for me. If we allowed more than 28, we were in trouble. If we kept them to under 28, maybe we got some hope. So I'm still sitting here not knowing if our defense is going to be our Achilles heel again, or maybe we actually got a shot.
And Caleb Williams, just like SC, I have a love-hate relationship with the man. Like, I'm happy he's from the DMV, but he also, when he was at St. John's last second Hail Mary championship game against DeMatha, conference title, I mean, it just, it was heartbreaking. I mean, it was a high school game, and it was fucking number one on SportsCenter the next day. And I was like, oh, you gotta be kidding me. And we haven't won a championship at DeMatha since then. Like, we've been in the championship game, but we haven't won. So like, every time I see Caleb Williams, like, oh, he's a DMV guy, I like that, but damn him.
Yeah, that one will sting for a while. I know that DeMatha is not the same as normal high school sports allegiances, so I won't blame you for letting that one stick in your craw a little.
I am happy we DeMatha won up and beat the crap out of some team in Ohio. And like, there's two other teams in our conference that are ranked nationally, but they both got smoked on national TV. So like, last weekend, week zero, there's a couple college games. There's like those high school showcases. Point being, DeMatha's number one in DC again from Washington Post. So I'm like, all right.
Where do they belong?
And we have seven guys on active rosters. We'll see what happens in the next couple of weeks in the NFL.
Wow. I was just going to say, you know, DeMatha, I just think it's funny. I know their name's the Stags, and I know their colors are red and blue.
Red, white, and blue.
Red, white, and blue, because I follow them on Instagram now because of you. But, like, my DeMatha allegiance, like, if I ran through it, because I like golf so much, like, they're, like, one of my top eight favorite teams in all of sports is, like, DeMatha. It's like, why did you go there? No, just Ted, you know, like, been doing this podcast for a long time and we talk about it a lot. And like, I feel like this diehard DeMatha fan, I'm like, I couldn't locate it on a map. I could walk, if I was walking through town and I walked right by it, if I didn't see the sign, I wouldn't know I was walking by DeMatha. Like, but I root for it more than I root for the high school I went to. Like,
well, it's funny. So my buddy Sean, he came back with me this summer to like for my nephew's graduation and stuff. And the next day we drive from Northern Virginia, drive around DC, show him all the sites. And then he was like, hey, man, like, can we see DeMatha? Like, you talk about it all the time. I'm like, yeah. So I texted Ponton. I was like, can we get like the quick tour? And he's like, yeah, sure, Teddy. Like, come on by. It's just like same thing. And he's just like, so you didn't eat, and Sean's like, I didn't even grow up on this coast. He's just like, I just hear about it constantly. I had to see it. like, me and Ponton are giving him the full tour. I'm like, see this classroom? Like, this is where I had study skills. Miss Garen worked in here.
Study skills.
Right. I was like, oh, yeah. I was in the 33 track.
Dude, we called it learning strategies in my school, but it was the most fun class.
Carson, you're a lawyer. Did you have to take any of those classes?
No, I did not. Although I did take calculus senior year of high school and get a C+, and then took it freshman year of college and get the exact same C+. And I can't even blame it being far. It was literally the closest class I had to my dorm the entire year. It's just like, no, that was as far as I got in math, and that's why I'm a lawyer instead of a doctor.
I'm pretty sure I took algebra 2 my senior year. Right, because the first 2 years they broke up algebra 1, and then I took what, geometry. Actually, as far as math goes, that one I kind of liked. I was like, all right, we're using shapes.
It's got a hint
stuff.
Of practicality. It's not just number magic. So you actually feel like you can learn it. I feel like we could all do math a lot better if they made it something that was practical instead of just random numbers on a page and word problems.
Yeah, right. Like, I can solve math problems when it's divided by 6 or 7 or 3 or 2.
But like, let's just teach kids to do their taxes and how to balance a budget and a checkbook. Like, that'd be some good practical math. Would teach people the basic skills in a real useful way. Maybe we wouldn't be a nation of debtors and innumerate folks, but what do I know? I'm just a small town pizza lawyer.
Oh God, I love those commercials. Just a small town pizza lawyer.
And on Mercer Island, I did cook in a pizza restaurant too, so I can literally say I am a small town, comma, pizza lawyer.
All right. Well, I mean, listen, also, I think the Terps are going to have a decent year in the Big Ten. That division's brutal. We got to play Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan every year. And you sprinkle in a Wisconsin, just like, but I think this year we'll finally get over that hump, maybe get 9 wins. And like, I mean, you beat one of those teams and you beat everybody else, you should. That should get us ranked.
Yeah, I find myself rooting for Maryland a lot now, too, frankly, because of the podcast. And I mean, nice. Although I was at SC during the gloriest of glory years, I was at CU during their absolute worst. I think they won 4 or maybe even 2 games total the 3 years that I was there. So, I mean, I've been through both sides of that spectrum, and I feel you on, you got a schedule where there's just no chance of beating anyone important, and you know you're just getting rocked half the games each season.
I tell you what, I can't wait to see what Colorado does this weekend. Deion is talking about crazy uniforms and this and that. It's like, look, I don't know that I believe the hype when he went to Jackson State, but then like that program did well. And now he's at Colorado and I'm like, yeah, I know it's a different style, but also it's college football. I'm like, there's a lot of coaches that are great in college, like Urban Meyer. I watched that whole swamp.
Just put it on my list.
Yeah, that Urban Meyer is a freaking psycho. Like, I can see why he's such a good college coach and not an NFL coach. So, like, for Deion, I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, he started a small school. Like, you know, I always remind people, too, like, ask Oregon. You have no idea how much cool uniforms matter to 17 and 18-year-old boys. Like, it's a massive deal. And to be like, I play for Deion.
Yeah, and I hate to give you credit on the uniform thing, but you're right. Because being raised a Husky fan, there's nobody I hate more than Oregon. I hate Oregon more than UCLA, more than Notre Dame, more than any of them. I don't like to give them credit for anything. But yeah, the Oregonification of uniforms, that's the wave of the future. You got to do it to recruit. I love that SC doesn't do it, but I wonder how much longer we can hold on. At least we have LA as a recruiting tool. But yeah, it's with CU, I'll be interested to see what happens. If they can pull out 7-8 wins this season, I'll be very impressed. But they've got a long, long road to hoe. I remember in law school looking at it and seeing the quarterback who was then the coach's son and realizing he is not any taller or bigger than I am. And I'm an exceedingly normal, average-sized dude. Like, I remember realizing he's 6 inches shorter than any of the guys on the line. You're not going to win a lot of Division I football games when your quarterback has to stand on his tiptoes to see over the shoulder to read the coverage.
Yeah, I will say though, SC is right there with Penn State, like just classic uniforms. Like, I don't think they have to worry about it. And it's also funny, I never realized the last few years that like most Husky fans completely despise Oregon, like much more than they care about the Cougs.
Oh yeah. Well, when CU joined the Pac-12, ESPN did a series of introduction articles from the local sports writer for each team about their team to introduce to the new fans from Utah and CU. And the article about UW was saying, look, the one thing you have to realize is, yes, Wazoo is the rival, but Oregon is the enemy. It is college football's only nuclear-powered rivalry. It's true. It's pure hatred, and it's wonderful.
All right, one more. We'll switch over to what's Matt in here. But one more thing you have to thank Oregon and Phil Knight for when it comes to college athletics is Phil Knight got so tired of not having a beverage in the stadiums. He's basically the reason college switched the rules, and now you can buy beer at games.
Yeah, and that's a nice change. I'll take advantage of that because you used to be able to get beer at the Coliseum when I was in college because it was city-owned property but leased by the Trojans. So the city had the contract to sell concessions, so they were allowed to keep doing it. But then a few years ago, we started paying them extra to not do it. So I'm very glad that now it's back and we can get a cold one when I'm there for the UW game this November.
I'll tell you what, last year we went to a Maryland game, was back, and just old instincts kicked in. Like, I'm well aware, like, where my family sits, that there's a Chick-fil-A and a beer stand behind them. But I just got hammered beforehand. I never even drank a beer during the second half. I was like, so he's like, "You didn't get a beer, man?" I was like, "I kind of forgot because we're at a college game."
Yeah, we got to retrain ourselves now.
Yeah. All right, Carson, you can hang out for a minute. Yeah, let's check in with what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Whoa. Before we get to what's maddening,
hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Whoa. Check out with what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Before we get to what's maddening,
hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Check out with what's maddening.
All right, we had a pretty chill weekend. Got some laundry done and hung out. But the day before that, so that was Saturday. I'm talking about here. We went up to the mountains above our house and went to a lake up there, just kind of walked around, wanted to scope it out, see what it was all about. And it was great, you know, getting up there in the trees. It's about 20 degrees cooler than here. Being on the water, it was definitely a very cool place to check out. We'd driven by it on our way up to this town, Idlewild, that we go to sometimes. And so after we went to the lake and got out, walked around, we went up to Idlewild, got out, walked around, went, got some ice cream, kind
of
just...
Is Idlewild, is that strange of a place? Like, I just remember Outkast, like, had an album or a song called Idlewild.
Oh, you're right. I don't know if it's about the same place, actually.
All right.
I'll have to look into that. That's a good question, Ted. I knew I had heard the term somewhere besides this town. Yeah. And it's a PCT town. So the PCT goes kind of right by it. And it's like the first town that you can go into somewhat conveniently from the PCT after you leave from Mexico. So, but I knew I'd heard it somewhere else. And you're right, it was Outkast. So I'll have to look that up. But we went to Idlewild. And then Idlewild's like at the top of the mountain above Palm Springs. And we live in Palm Desert. You go up the back way. And then we came back down the other side, making a big loop and winding up in downtown Palm Springs.
All right.
So, of course, we went to the 420 bank, right? As usual. No surprises yet, right?
Oh, by the way, I left that out. When you do go to Montana as an adult, recreational weed.
Oh, it's there. Oh, nice. Okay. Yep. Noted. Can't wait. So we go to the bank. And I go into the bathroom, and then I come back out, and I see my friend, the bud tender, that's working there. And I go to, like, say what's up to him, but he's with another customer. I'm not going to interrupt. He interrupts to be like, "Oh, what up, dude?" Because I'm a regular, right? He gives me the cheers treatment. "Hey, how you been?" Da-da-da. Like, mid-transaction with these other people. And then it's a couple. And the guy goes, "Hey, what's up, dude?" And I was like, and I'm not going to say his name, but I recognized him as one of my coworkers.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the directors at work, actually. I'm like, "Oh, boy." And he's like, "Yeah, I don't smoke. We're just here for my wife. We were just getting dinner down the street." And my friend, my bud tender friend, just keeps like piling on you again.
What's he like, the usual, Matt? Just like pre-roll joints,
PBRs and pre-rolls. We know, dude. my coworker turns to his wife and goes, "Yeah, this is Matt. He's one of the personal trainers." And the bud tender goes, "Personal pothead. What do you want?" Like, custom. I'm like, "Dude, this guy is above my pay grade at my work, which is a very nice place where I try not to make a big deal out of how much I smoke weed. And you're really not helping me here, bro." And I'm like trying to tell my coworker, like, love this place. You know, I don't drink. It's coming up on 10 years. So we just come here instead. Then we go to dinner after. It's a great little night. And he's like, yeah, that's all. And Ian, the bartender, just keeps it coming at me. I'm like, it's like Cheers in here for me. You know, they know who I am. It's good. It's the only place I hang out. I don't go to bars. This is it. He's like, that's great, man. That's cool. Cool. You got a place and stuff. But like, it could not have been more unnerving. Getting that kind of recognition from the bud tender, like, that guy's like, yeah, he's a little bit more buttoned up than me. We've talked enough at work, and it's like, I was shocked to see him in there. I thought that's a safe space for me.
Like, there's no safe spaces. The town's too small.
Yeah, dude.
But I would think in this day and age, like, I don't know, in the fitness industry, I think it would almost be more acceptable to use weed than drink hard.
Yeah. Yeah, especially, I mean, I didn't want to get too defensive. Like, I don't even smoke most of the time. I got a vaporizer at home, man.
I got a knockoff volcano, boss.
It's way better for your lungs. I love health. Like, yeah, I just kind of just let it be. Like, you guys going to hang out? You guys can come sit down with us. There's music starting. Yeah, that was probably one of the more interesting things that I've encountered, because, yeah, I thought I was totally in the clear. Like, I work in Palm Desert. Palm Springs is like 40 minutes away. That's forever in desert.
All right.
And he's like, yeah, we were just out on the town and popped in here. She was curious. We'd never been in. And here you are. The guy behind the counter just gave me the regular treatment, which I love. That's why I go in there half the time, yeah, to see that guy and have that interaction. And I was like, this is just looks way more incriminating. I was trying to backpedal, like, yeah, man, it's a great place. They have music. Yeah. They got pool.
You have those interactions. Like when I was when I lived on Capitol Hill, like one day, like I'm in the grocery store and I'm just like, Emily, she's like, what's up, Ted? She's like my bartender. I was like, what are you doing in here? She's like, well, I live in the neighborhood. I eat food. And I was like, yep, all right. And then like the other bartender, they used to work at Bill's off Broadway. And like the next aisle over, I'm like, Parker. And he's like, what's up, man? I was like, it's kind of weird seeing you in the wild. He's like, it's kind of weird seeing you in the wild. I was like, Emily's two aisles over. And he's like, really? But and there's nothing, it's just odd, because it's just like they're used to seeing me on one side of the bar. So it's like, oh yeah, we all are normal people too, outside of the culture, you know, whether outside the 420 bank or the bar.
Yeah. And like, I usually have my stuff very like dialed in as far as appearance up there, clean shaven, fresh cuts, shirt tucked in, collar, the whole nine. And then I just come in like straight off the mountain and cargo camo shorts and a white tank top that says West Coast Cannabis Club on it. Like, what's up, dude? I'm surprised you recognize me, honestly. Like, that's impressive. Thought I had a full disguise.
That's pretty damn funny. I like that. Like, no, I don't smoke that much. Like, yeah, the bud tender just knows you and you're wearing a weed shirt.
Oh man, yeah. So I mean, that was. He's chill. I don't think it'll like blow back on me in any negative way at work. But yeah, I think it's like a good bonding experience. You know, like, man, remember that time we saw each other outside of here? That was wild, dude. So,
plus, it's nice you saw him like as you got there,
yeah,
as opposed to him showing up and you're just blunted.
Yeah,
just like, oh, what's up, boss?
How you been, man? How's summer going?
And that's coming from personal experience. One year on Migs's birthday, we're on the party bus. And like, I'm sitting in the back and like hair clubs on the bus. So I'm like, what's up, man? And then like that Monday at work, he's like, I don't know that I've ever seen anybody as stoned as you were in the back of that bus. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, your eyes were barely open. And he's like, it took you 2 minutes to say hello. Hey, man.
Yeah, it was fun. You know, that was, yeah, God, I definitely, you work in radio, so it's a little different, but yeah, just
right,
being caught that, that, I mean, the reaction, it was like, this is very, there's no way to undo this. Like, it's not incriminating because there's nothing criminal about it, but it's very, very clear and obvious what takes place when I am not working with my shirt tucked in.
Right. Also, they're going to start tracking you every time you go to your car.
Right. Keep an eye on him.
Right. Does he seem hungrier? Yeah. Like, actually, no, he's a good eater.
Well, he's always laughed a lot, so we can't really tell there.
All right. Carson, do you have anything to plug as long as you're on here?
No, but if there's any LARPers in L.A. who want to come to a tailgate, we're on the north end of Truesdale Parkway. Look for the one with the four flags. We're doing one first weekend of November for the UW game, and then I think it's the first weekend of December for the UCLA game. Just come on up. Like I said, find the four flags, ask for Carson the lawyer, and give me a LARP on.
All right. And by the way, what I can't think of it. What I know, it's awesome. It's not Trident. What is the name of the horse?
Traveler is Traveler. The name of the horse. Yeah. I'm shocked. A college football mascot that Ted doesn't know. I'm flying. My goodness.
Trust me, I was pissed this year when the Lions coach asked if they could have a real lion. The NFL was like, no. And I'm like, that's not the college way. College way is you get that real goddamn animal out there and you scare the other team.
Yeah. They must have better lawyers in the NFL.
Right. All right. I was going to say, next week, hopefully Cobb's back in a one piece. I don't know. He's out in the desert going crazy. Other than that, yeah, Carson, thanks for coming on. I'm sure some people, you're not a big sports person. Sorry, this podcast wasn't for you. But either way, go Terps. You know what? Fight on. I'll give you one.
Thank you, Ted.
All right. For Carson, for MCTP of the Ted Smith is the Podcast. Cheers.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I was just going to say, you know, DeMatha, I just think it's funny. I know their names, the Stags, and I know their colors are red and blue.
Red, white, and blue.
Red, white, and blue. Because I follow him on Instagram now because of you. But like my DeMatha allegiance, like if I ran through it because I like golf so much, like they're like one of my top eight favorite teams in all of sports is like DeMatha. It's like, why did you go there? No, just Ted, you know, like it's been doing this podcast for a long time and we talk about it a lot, and like I feel like this diehard DeMatha fan. Like I couldn't locate it on a map. I could walk, if I was walking through town and I walked right by it, if I didn't see the sign, I wouldn't know I was walking by DeMatha. Like, but I root for it more than I root for the high school I went to. Like,
well, it's funny. So my buddy Sean, he came back with me this summer to like for my nephew's graduation and stuff, and the next day we drive from Northern Virginia, drive around DC, show him all the sites. And then he was like, hey, man, like, can we see DeMatha? Like, you talk about it all the time. I'm like, yeah. So I texted Ponton. I was like, can we get like the quick tour? And he's like, yeah, sure, Teddy. Like, come on by. It's just like same thing. And he's just like, so you didn't eat. And Sean's like, I didn't even grow up on this coast. He's just like, I just hear about it constantly. I had to see it. like me and Ponton are giving him the full tour. I'm like, ah, see this classroom? Like, this is where I had study skills. Miss Garen worked in here.
Study skills.
Right. I was like, oh yeah. I was in the 33 track.
Dude, study, we called it learning strategies in my school, but it was the most fun class.
Carson, you're a lawyer. Did you have to take any of those classes?
No, I did not. Although I did take calculus senior year of high school and get a C+, and then took it freshman year of college and get the exact same C+. And I can't even blame it being far. It was literally the closest class I had to my dorm the entire year. It's just like, no, that was as far as I got in math, and that's why I'm a lawyer instead of a doctor.
I'm pretty sure I took Algebra 2 my senior year. Right? Because the first 2 years, they broke up Algebra 1. And then I took, what, Geometry? Geometry, actually, as far as math goes, that one I kind of liked. I was like, all right, we're using shapes.
It's got a hint of practicality. It's not just number magic. So you actually feel like you can learn it. I feel like we could all do math a lot better if they made it something that was practical instead of just random numbers on a page and word problems.
Yeah, right. Like I can solve math problems when it's divided by 6 or 7 or 3 or 2.
Well, like let's just teach kids to do their taxes and how to balance a budget and a checkbook. Like that'd be some good practical math. Would teach people the basic skills in a real useful way. Maybe we wouldn't be a nation of debtors and innumerate folks. But what do I know? I'm just a small town pizza lawyer.
Oh god, I love those commercials. Just a small town pizza lawyer.
And on Mercer Island I did cook in a pizza restaurant too, so I can literally say I am a small town comma pizza lawyer.
All right, well, I mean, listen, also I think the Terps are gonna have a decent year in the Big Ten. We just, that division's brutal. We gotta play Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan every year. And you sprinkle in a Wisconsin. It's just like, ah. But I think this year we'll finally get over that hump, maybe get 9 wins. And like, I mean, you beat one of those teams and you beat everybody else, you should. That should get us ranked.
Yeah, I find myself rooting for Maryland a lot now too, frankly, because of the podcast. And I mean, nice. Although I was at SC during the gloriest of glory years, I was at CU during their absolute worst. I think they won 4 or maybe even 2 games total the 3 years that I was there. So I mean, I've been through both sides of that spectrum, and I feel you on, you got a schedule where there's just no chance of beating anyone important, and you know you're just getting rocked half the games each season.
I tell you what, I can't wait to see what Colorado does this weekend. Deion is talking about crazy uniforms and this and that. It's like look, I don't know that I believe the hype when he went to Jackson State, but then like that program did well. And now he's at Colorado and I'm like, yeah, I know it's a different style, but also it's college football. I'm like, there's a lot of coaches that are great in college, like Urban Meyer. I watched that whole swamp.
Just put it on my list.
Yeah, that Urban Meyer is a freaking psycho. Like, I can see why he's such a good college coach and not an NFL coach. So, like, for Dion, I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, he started a small school. Like, you know, I always remind people, too, like, you have ask Oregon. You have no idea how much cool uniforms matter to 17 and 18-year-old boys. Like, it's a massive deal. And to be like, I play for Dion.
Yeah, and I hate to give you credit on the uniform thing, but you're right, because being raised a Husky fan, there's nobody I hate more than Oregon. I hate Oregon more than UCLA, more than Notre Dame, more than any of them. I don't like to give them credit for anything. But yeah, the Oregonification of uniforms, that's the wave of the future. You got to do it to recruit. I love that SC doesn't do it, but I wonder how much longer we can hold on. At least we have LA as a recruiting tool. But yeah, it's with CU, I'll be interested to see what happens. If they can pull out 7-8 wins this season, I'll be very impressed. But they've got a long, long road to hoe. I remember in law school looking at it and seeing the quarterback who was then the coach's son and realizing he is not any taller or bigger than I am. And I'm an exceedingly normal, average-sized dude. Like, I remember seeing, realizing he's 6 inches shorter than any of the guys on the line. You're not going to win a lot of Division I football games when your quarterback has to stand on his tiptoes to see over the shoulder to read the coverage.
Yeah. I will say, though, SC is right there with Penn State. Like, just classic uniforms. Like, I don't think they have to worry about it. And it's also funny, I never realized the last few years that, like, most Husky fans completely despise Oregon, like, much more than they care about the Cougs.
Oh, yeah. Well, when CU joined the Pac-12, ESPN did a series of introduction articles from the local sports writer for each team about their team to introduce to the new fans from Utah and CU. And the article about UW was saying, look, the one thing you have to realize is, yes, Wazoo is the rival, but Oregon is the enemy. It is college football's only nuclear-powered rivalry. It's true. It's pure hatred, and it's wonderful.
All right, one more. We'll switch over to what's Matt in here. But one more thing you have to thank Oregon and Phil Knight for when it comes to college athletics is Phil Knight got so tired of not having a beverage in the stadiums. He's basically the reason college switched the rules, and now you can buy beer at games.
Yeah, and that's a nice change. I'll take advantage of that, because you used to be able to get beer at the Coliseum when I was in college, because it was city-owned property but leased by the Trojans. So the city had the contract to sell concessions, so they were allowed to keep doing it. But then a few years ago, we started paying them extra to not do it. So I'm very glad that now it's back, and we can get a cold one when I'm there for the UW game this November.
I'll tell you what, last year we went to a Maryland game, was back, and just old instincts kicked in. Like, I'm well aware, like, where my family sits, that there's a Chick-fil-A and a beer stand behind them. But I just got hammered beforehand. I never even drank a beer during the second half. He's like, you didn't get a beer, man? I was like, I kind of forgot, because we're at a college game.
Yeah, we got to retrain ourselves now.
Yeah. All right, Carson, you can hang out for a minute. Let's check in with what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Whoa. Before we get to what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Whoa. Check out with what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Whoa. Before we get to what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Whoa. Check out with what's maddening.
All right, we had a pretty chill weekend. Got some laundry done and hung out. But the day before that, so that was Saturday I'm talking about here. We went up to the mountains above our house and went to a lake up there. Just kind of walked around, wanted to scope it out, see what it was all about. And it was great, you know, getting up there in the trees. It's about 20 degrees cooler than here. Being on the water, it was definitely a very cool place to check out. We'd driven by it on our way up to this town, Idlewild, that we go to sometimes. And so after we went to the lake, and got out, walked around. We went up to Idlewild, got out, walked around, went, got some ice cream, kind
of
just.
Is Idlewild, is that that strange of a place? Like, I just remember Outkast, like, had an album or a song called Idlewild.
Oh, you're right. I don't know if it's about the same place, actually.
All right.
I'll have to look into that. That's a good question, Ted. I knew I had heard the term somewhere besides this town. Yeah. And it's a PCT town. So the PCT goes kind of right by it. And it's like the first town that you can go into somewhat conveniently from the PCT after you leave from Mexico. So, but I knew I'd heard it somewhere else. And you're right. It was Outkast. So I'll have to look that up. But we went to Idlewild, and then Idlewild's like at the top of the mountain above Palm Springs. And we live in Palm Desert. You go up the back way. And then we came back down the other side, making a big loop and winding up in downtown Palm Springs.
All right.
So, of course, we went to the 420 bank, right? As usual. No surprises yet, right?
Oh, by the way, I left that out. When you do go to Montana as an adult, recreational weed.
Oh, it's there. Oh, nice. Okay. Yep. Noted. Can't wait. So we go to the bank and go into the bathroom, and then I come back out and I see my friend, the bud tender, that's working there. And I go to like say what's up to him, but he's with another customer. I'm not going to interrupt. He interrupts to be like, "Oh, what up, dude?" Because I'm a regular, right? He gives me the cheers treatment. Hey, how you been? Out of that, like mid transaction with these other people, and then nice. It's a couple, and the guy goes, "Hey, what's up, dude?" And I was like, and I'm not going to say his name, but I recognized him as one of my coworkers.
Oh, no kidding!
Yeah. Yeah, one of the directors at work, actually. I'm like, oh, boy. And he's like, yeah, I don't smoke. We're just here for my wife. We were just getting dinner down the street. And my friend, my bud tender friend, just keeps like piling on you again.
What's he like, the usual, Matt? Just like pre-roll joints.
PBRs and pre-rolls. We know, dude. My coworker turns to his wife and goes, yeah, this is Matt. He's one of the personal trainers. And the bud tender goes, personal pothead. What do you want? Like, I'm like, dude, this guy is above my pay grade at my work, which is a very nice place where I try not to make a big deal out of how much I smoke weed. And you're really not helping me here, bro. And I'm like trying to tell my coworker, like, love this place. You know, I don't drink. It's coming up on 10 years. So we just come here instead. Then we go to dinner after. It's a great little night. And he's like, yeah, that's all. And Ian, the bud tender, just keeps it coming at me. I'm like, it's like Cheers in here for me. You know, they know who I am. It's good. It's the only place I hang out. I don't go to bars. This is it. He's like, that's great, man. That's cool. Cool. You got a place and stuff. But like, it could not have been more unnerving. Getting that kind of recognition from the bud tender, like, that guy's like, yeah, he's a little bit more buttoned up than me. We've talked enough at work, and it's like, I was shocked to see him in there. I thought that's a safe space for me.
There's no safe spaces. The town's too small.
Yeah, dude.
But I would think in this day and age, like, I don't know, in the fitness industry, I think it would almost be more acceptable to use weed than drink hard.
Yeah. Yeah, especially, I mean, I didn't want to get too defensive. Like, I don't even smoke most of the time. I got a vaporizer at home, man.
I got a knockoff volcano, boss.
It's way better for your lungs. I love health. Like, yeah, I just kind of just let it be. Like, you guys going to hang out? You guys can come sit down with us. There's music starting. Yeah, that was probably one of the more interesting things that I've encountered, because, yeah, I thought I was totally in the clear. Like, I work in Palm Desert. Palm Springs is like 40 minutes away. That's forever in desert.
All right.
And he's like, yeah, we were just out on the town and popped in here. She was curious. We'd never been in. And here you are. The guy behind the counter just gave me the the regular treatment, which I love. That's why I go in there half the time to see that guy and have that interaction. And I was like, this is just looks way more incriminating. I was just trying to backpedal. Like, yeah, man, it's a great place. They have music. Yeah. They got pool.
You have those interactions. Like when I was when I lived on Capitol Hill, like one day, like I'm in the grocery store and I'm just like, Emily, she's like, what's up, Ted? She's like my bartender. I was like, what are you doing in here? She's like, well, I live in the neighborhood. I eat food. And I was like, yep. All right. And then like the other bartender, they used to work at Bill's off Broadway. Then like the next aisle over, I'm like, Parker. And he's like, what's up, man? I was like, it's kind of weird seeing you in the wild. He's like, it's kind of weird seeing you in the wild. I was like, Emily's two aisles over. And he's like, really? But and there's nothing, it's just odd because it's just like they're used to seeing me on one side of the bar. So it's like, oh yeah, we all are normal people too, outside of the culture, you know, whether outside the 420 bank or the bar.
Yeah. And like I usually have my stuff very like dialed in as far as appearance up there, clean shaven, fresh cuts, shirt tucked in, collar, the whole nine. And then I just come in like straight off the mountain and cargo camo shorts and a white tank top that says West Coast Cannabis Club on it. Like, what's up, dude? I'm surprised you recognize me, honestly. Like, that's impressive. I thought I had a full disguise.
That's pretty damn funny. I like that. Like, no, I don't smoke that much. Like, yeah, the bud tender just knows you and you're wearing a weed shirt.
Oh man, yeah. So I mean, that was. He's chill. I don't think it'll like blow back on me in any negative way at work. But yeah, I think it's like a good bonding experience. You know, like, man, remember that time we saw each other outside of here? That was wild, dude. So,
plus, it's nice you saw him like as you got there,
yeah.
As opposed to him showing up and you're just blunted.
Yeah,
just like, oh, what's up, boss?
How you been, man? How's summer going?
And that's coming from personal experience. One year on Migs's birthday, we're on the party bus. And like I'm sitting in the back and like hair clubs on the bus. So I'm like, what's up? And then like that Monday at work, he's like, I don't know that I've ever seen anybody as stoned as you were in the back of that bus. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, your eyes were barely open. And he's like, it took you 2 minutes to say hello. Hey, man.
Yeah, it was fun. You know, that was yeah. God, I definitely, you work in radio, so it's a little different, but yeah, just
right.
being caught that I mean the reaction, it was like, this is very, there's no way to undo this. Like, it's not incriminating because there's nothing criminal about it, but it's very, very clear and obvious. What takes place when I am not working with my shirt tucked in?
Right. Also, they're going to start tracking you every time you go to your car.
Right. Keep an eye on him.
Right. Does he seem hungrier?
Yeah. Like,
actually, no, he's a good eater.
Well, he's always laughed a lot, so we can't really tell there.
All right. Carson, do you have anything to plug as long as you're on here?
No, but if there's any LARPers in L.A. who want to come to a tailgate, we're on the north end of Truesdale Parkway. Look for the one with the four flags. We're doing one first weekend of November for the UW game. And then I think it's the first weekend of December for the UCLA game. Just come on up. Like I said, find the four flags, ask for Carson the lawyer, and give me a LARP on.
All right. And by the way, what I can't think of it. What I know, it's awesome. It's not Trident. What is the name of the horse?
Traveler. The name of the horse. Yeah. I'm shocked. A college football mascot that Ted doesn't know. Flying. My goodness.
Trust me. I was pissed this year when the Lions coach asked if they could have a real lion. The NFL was like, no. And I'm like, that's not the college way. College way is you get that real goddamn animal out there and you scare the other team.
Yeah. They must have better lawyers in the NFL. Right.
All right. I was going to say next week, hopefully Cobb's back in a one piece. I don't know. He's out in the desert going crazy. Other than that, yeah, Carson, thanks for coming on. I'm sure some people, you're not a big sports person. Sorry, this podcast wasn't for you. But either way, go Terps. You know what? Fight on. I'll give you one.
Thank you, Ted.
All right. For Carson, for MCTP of the Ted Smith is the podcast. Cheers.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAF Giving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.